You're listening to the Red Moon Radio Podcast, episode number 21, with special guest Stevie Moonbots of The Orange Kite. Red Moon Radio is a weekly podcast dedicated to garage, psychedelic, fuzz, and lo-fi, as well as good old-fashioned rock and roll from around the world. We bring you the best new music and interviews, introducing you to your new favorite band. The show is produced every Monday and is available on Podomatic at redmoonradio.podomatic.com and on Stitcher at stitcher.com/red-moon-radio. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching for Red Moon Radio. Follow the podcast on Twitter at redmoonradio1, on Facebook at facebook.com/redmoonradio. Get in touch with us by email at redmoonradio2015@gmail.com, and watch for us, along with the other music junkies, on the website 53rdandthird.com. Links to the bands and extras are available in the show notes on our Podomatic and Stitcher pages, as well as on 53rdandthird.com. Come back often and add us to your favorites. Now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, Erin here. Welcome to the Red Moon Radio Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in to what promises to be an amazing show. This week's episode has been months in the making. Stevie and I began corresponding at the beginning of July, so I'm really excited to share it with you. Before we begin, a quick reminder that previous episodes of the podcast, including the latest episode with Edmonton's The Archaics, are available for your listening pleasure on Podomatic, Stitcher, and through iTunes. And don't forget to check out Red Moon Radio along with the other music junkies and podcasters on 53rdandthird.com. New episodes are updated on the website with extra content. We're going to jump right into some music from this week's guest, Stevie Moonbots, the force behind The Orange Kite, a psychedelic project that's releasing a new single every month throughout 2016. Let's start off the show with the first release in the series, Morning Pages, and the most recent release, September single, Elasticity.
Thank you.
This episode of the Red Moon Radio podcast features Dublin, Ireland-born, Vancouver, Canada-based Stevie Moonbods, the musical mastermind behind the experimental psychedelic project The Orange Kite. The project has a simple enough premise, a new single every month, and it seems to have struck a nerve with fans of lo-fi and psychedelic music, with a lot of positive press and singles popping up on compilations from online stalwarts like the Psychedelic Underground Generation, the blog that celebrates itself, and many more. Originally conceived as a solo recording project, The Orange Kite has kind of exploded on the Vancouver scene too, playing live shows including Levitation Vancouver in June, and opening for touring bands, including a show with Cosmonauts today, October 25th. Incorporating other members for the live shows, the project remains the brainchild of Stevie, and as you'll hear in the interview, it's really stretching his artistry and providing him with tons of opportunities for creative expression. It was a lot of fun and a great pleasure to sit down and chat with Stevie via Skype from Vancouver this weekend. Hey, Stevie. Welcome to Red Moon Radio. Thanks so much for joining me.
Cheers, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine and dandy. Thanks very much.
Wonderful. Why don't you tell me a little bit about The Orange Kite?
So basically, The Orange Kite was a project that it started at the beginning of this year in January. I kind of began it as like a way to just learn how to record and kind of, it began as a solo project. Just wanted to start learning how to record as much as possible and kind of had a lot of songs. I was in a band called Strange Things at the time, and I had a lot of songs at the side that I kind of felt like a burning need to start getting out. So I kind of set myself a challenge to do like a single a month for a year. I was going to initially record it all by myself, but it didn't really work out that way because people started getting involved who were interested in the idea of the project. And then it became a thing where I just collaborated with different people every month. So it's kind of evolved from there. And pretty soon, about summer, I was asked to play some shows like Levitation and a couple of things and some support shows. So it's just kind of evolved into what it's now rapidly becoming, like a full-on live band, like a four-piece band. And so I've got like three more singles to release till the end of this 12-month single run. Then we're just going to be focusing on doing some studio albums. But yeah, it's pretty much just like a kind of haphazard, psychedelic-y, kind of shoegazy project, and some of the singles were pretty much written in the studio as they were being recorded. So it's been fun. It's been pretty stress-free, and people seem to dig what they're hearing. So I'm excited about it overall. I'm no longer in Strange Things as a result, because I just felt the need to focus on it because people were starting to get into it, and I felt like there was an opportunity to do some really cool things. So we went our separate ways. So it's now pretty much just my primary focus is just doing this Orange Kite stuff.
So monthly releases, is that a lot of pressure for you?
No, it's not really, actually. It's kind of fun because it suits the way my attention span, the way it works. I like to write a song and then I just kind of like just want to run away from it and do something else as soon as possible. So I can just wrap it up at the end of every month. It forces me to finish things, which is the main deal, because I kind of had so many. I'm a bit of a procrastinator, and I'm a bit of a scatterbrain. So I kind of forget things, and I don't know. I'm a bit of a gong show sometimes. It just forces me to finish things, I guess. And some of the stuff has been released in a state that I don't necessarily think is perfect. But I'm of the opinion that like songs are never really, the recording or release is just a snapshot of a song at that moment in time. There'll be other versions. There'll be live recordings. There'll be full studio recordings. I could revise some songs at some point. Who knows? They're just snapshots. It's like a photograph. That's The Orange Kite in that month, and that's what happened on that day. I like the idea of just treating it as a photograph, pretty much, and not being too precious about it.
You've played some live shows. In fact, you have one on Tuesday too, right?
Yeah, that's correct, with Cosmonauts, so that's exciting.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, they're a band I really, really respect and admire. So we've been lucky in terms of shows, because it was quite early on. Like this project was only supposed to be a little side project where I released a monthly single, and then pretty soon got asked to play Levitation, and then supported Ultimate Painting, and it's blown my mind completely because I've been in bands where like I labor over stuff, put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into things, and just nothing really happens, you know. People listen to the music and kind of just go, you know, it's, I don't know, there's something about the lo-fi aspect or the kind of, there's just something about this thing that it's a lot of fun to make. And I think you can just, yeah, I don't know, it's just fun, and these shows are happening, so I'm just going with it, to be honest. It's just like something I'm just,
it's a ride.
Yeah, it's a ride. I'm just letting it evolve in any way possible, and it just became a live band with three other members like a month or two ago, and I'm just going along with it and seeing where that takes me. It's just another aspect of it. It's all just good fun at the end of the day anyway. So
you're based in Vancouver.
Yeah,
but you're obviously from Ireland.
Mm, yeah,
Dublin. You talked about Strange Things. What brought you to Vancouver? What got you into the music scene there?
Well, all right. So, like, I had this band called House of Dolls, and we were like a different kind of thing. I don't know, like a Jesus and Mary Chain influenced kind of dark rock and roll band. And we did some tours around Europe and did these cool things and released an album. And I kind of tried to like get a Mark II version of that band going while I was here, just assemble a new version of that band, but it just didn't really work out. And then I kind of decided to ditch that and bring it back to basics and pick up acoustic guitar and learn how to write a song. Like, I mean, a song, because beforehand I'd just written like noisy rock and roll tunes with a lot of effects, and like effects on the voice and effects everywhere, effects up the wazoo basically. So I like got an old battered acoustic guitar from like a thrift store, or no, I got it from like a pawn shop, and started trying to write a song that could stand up on its own. And I started playing like a few coffee house kind of shows, which was really weird, playing shows
right,
to people
right.
who are drinking coffee, who aren't like, you know, drunk out of their skulls. So that was kind of, it was a very discerning crowd because they're sober. So like I'd play a show and then go home and go, right, that song sucks, that, you know. And then slowly but surely started finding a bunch of songs that I liked. And then I met a friend of mine called Simon. He moved over from Dublin for a year. And we formed this little thing where it was called the Subterranean Satellite Band. We just kind of had it like, you know, five songs each or something like that. Well, we wrote a load of songs, and similarly we did the coffee house shows. And I bumped into a guy. I was working with a dude who knew Chris van der Laan, who offered to record us. So we got into recording with him, and we made an album. Like we never formed a fully fledged live band, but we got in and made a record where like we kind of just used whatever resources were available to us, like one finger keyboard playing, and like, you know, playing these kind of building drum patterns out of just playing one part at a time. So like we do like the floor tom only, and then track the snare drum, and kind of like build a drum beat out of, you know, like individual tracks, because we didn't know how to play the drums. All this kind of like, it was a bit kind of kooky, and we were like just in a little garage full of weed smoke, just kind of tooling away. And somehow we made this weird little sentimentally folk pop kind of record. It's kind of like a mix between Simon's kind of style, and we kind of warped each other's sound a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, he got into what I was getting into, and I kind of manipulated his stuff in a way. And it's a pretty tongue-in-cheek fun little record with some weird little droney moments, and this, we left conversational bits in deliberately because it just lent itself to the music. So we did that, and then that record only came out last week.
Yeah, I've just been listening to it.
Oh, sweet, good stuff. Yeah, no, it's fun. I don't know, there's a charm to it that I kind of really like, and it was a very enjoyable process to make that record as well, because there's absolutely no pressure.
Always complain.
I guess actually, so I released a single from that record like a year or two ago, and Kyle from Strange Things heard it and asked me to play guitar for the band. And I'd never been just a guitar player without singing, so I just did it for the challenge of doing it, and it went really well. I kind of got myself an old Riviera hollow body guitar, and I started working on getting us some shows, and yeah, we played some pretty cool shows, and it was interesting just being a guitar player and focusing on just doing that, you know. Yeah. Just really like being able to zone in on tones and textures and what the song needs, because I would always just kind of like, you know, sing, and the guitar was just kind of there. Like I was kind of like I played a bass for years in House of Dolls, so I wasn't much of a guitar player, but I kind of like throwing myself in at the deep end anyway. Mm-hmm. In terms of music, because it's just the only way you learn. So
well, certainly this Orange Cape project is kind of throwing yourself into the deep end too, right?
Yeah, totally. That's what I'm all about, I suppose. I think I just like going into areas where I'm not 100% comfortable, right? and I don't know what's going to happen.
You're living on the edge.
Well, yeah, to a certain extent, I guess. So in a different way than I used to. But actually, so something kind of that happened to me while I was doing the Subterraneans record was that, like, I woke up one morning and I had no hearing in my left ear, like zero.
Oh, no.
And that remains to this day. So I went deaf making that album, like, and I guess it was nothing to do with sound. It was just that I got sick. I got a virus that just wiped out my hearing.
Oh my goodness.
And it just, yeah, I know, it's pretty awful, but like,
that's scary.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's like, I just hope it just doesn't happen the other ear.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, no. So like I woke up one morning, the hearing was gone. It was replaced with like loud tinnitus, and it just roars at me all day long, every day since. And that was like almost 2 years ago.
Wow.
So I suppose in some way it's kind of like drove me to just want to create as much music as possible, because I realized how these things might not last forever. So like I preserve and protect my hearing. I suppose like I know it's going to be fine, but I think the desire to just keep creating and keep creating is kind of driven somewhat by going deaf. And also I wanted to give the deafness a positive side, so if I hadn't made me do this, I'd probably just regret, I'd probably like mourn its loss every single day.
Sure.
Whereas now I go, well, at least at least it's inspired me to do something and be more productive than I was previously.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the inspiration behind the name for the Orange Kite?
Oh, that's just, it says throwaway and goofy as everything else to do with the project. It's like, just, I kind of, me and my girlfriend were home and I said, oh, I've got to put out this single, because there was no name before Morning Pages came out.
Okay.
So I was sitting at home at Bandcamp going, the single's got to get out like in the next, tomorrow. What am I going to call this thing? And I was listening to the Red Crayola, so I realized I wanted it to have a color in it. So my girlfriend said, oh, I like orange. So I was like, okay, orange it is. And then I just wanted it to sound fun, like something playful, like a Sid Barrett kind of thing, where like, you know, in Pink Floyd when he sings about having a bike.
Yes.
So I'm kind of like, right, kite. And then I kind of just changed the I to a Y because I read some, I just wanted to make it more interesting. It didn't look very interesting. And then there is actually, the word kite spelled with a Y is like a prison slang for some kind of contraband.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's like K-Y-T-E is prison contraband.
Oh, the things that you learn.
Yeah, so the word's got like, it's got a couple of different meanings. It doesn't mean any one in particular to me. It just means them all, you know? It just kind of looked better when it was spelled with a Y anyway, so.
Yeah, there's something about Ys, right?
Yeah. I think it's pretty much done in a lot of psychedelic music. Like, there's that band, The Mirrors, with a Y.
There's
plenty. They kind of escape me at the moment, but it's kind of like, it seems to be like a done thing. It was done a lot in the 60s with psychedelic.
Definitely.
So. It's kind of in keeping with the heritage of that kind of music. So, yeah, just went with it. Took about 5 minutes. Like, it was just, the Orange Kite it is. The only discussion that took any length of time was whether to leave the or drop the. So I opted to leave it, and some people choose to just drop it, which is fine. I don't mind.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting conversation I've had with some bands about thes.
Did you speak to Archaics recently? Are they there?
I did. Yeah. They are. It's weird. They are the Archaics, but on some things they're just Archaics.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had this conversation with a number of bands, especially psychedelic and garage, seems to somehow breed the use of the.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
But then some bands actively push back against that.
Yeah, because I kind of like it now, just as Orange Kite.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. I think it's there and people use it if they want and they don't if they don't. So it's, yeah, I don't know. Because remember like about 2001, 2002, there was like that new garage revival sort of thing in the New York scene.
Yes.
And it happened in...
Yeah, like The Strokes.
Yeah, all that. And then like it was in London too. And every band had the Libertines. And it was like...
Yes.
It was overkill on that. So I think the went away for a few years. Kind of, it's starting to make a resurgence because the coast is clear. Yeah.
That would be a good band name, actually.
The?
The coast is clear. The exists.
Coast is clear. The exists, yeah. I think they must have been discussing.
They must have, definitely. So are you planning on releasing the singles together at all? Or you said you were planning on recording an album?
Yeah, so next year, yeah, I've got labels interested in doing the vinyl compilation for the 12 singles. And
nice.
They're actually coming out on various little cassette releases as well, just not all together, like in four song batches through, like this label in Virginia.
Okay. Which label is, can you say which label it is?
So, they're called Custom Made Music.
Okay.
Like a small boutique-y kind of label that did stuff with like Ringo Death Star and A Place to Bury Strangers and lots of other bands I admire. And,
yeah.
You know, so they're putting out like little like limited edition cassettes of like, I called it greasy singles. just like the easy, do you have easy singles, the cheese slices?
Oh, I don't think they're called easy singles, or maybe they are. I don't even know what they're called, to be honest with
you.
Yeah.
They're called craft slices here, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, we call them easy singles. So I just call the singles compilation Greasy Singles, Greasy Singles 1, Greasy Singles 2, and Greasy Singles 3. And they're coming out through Custom Made Music.
Nice. I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, no, it should be cool. I'll send you the tapes when they come out.
Awesome.
And then the vinyl compilation will have a different name, I suppose. But that's coming out, I think, on a UK label and a Canadian label. And one in Europe somewhere, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that is really exciting.
And I just can't wait to hear what they sound like together on a vinyl, because they were all recorded standalone. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they work together, because I'll get them all mastered together as well, just specifically for the final. So that'll kind of tie them together a little bit better than they would be if I just threw them on without doing so.
You've also released videos for a lot of these songs.
Yeah, kind of just borrowed footage. That's something I've just do through this process. I've kind of become somewhat proficient with the Windows Movie Maker. It's not a great, powerful tool, but I just know how to basically edit things, and that's a lot of fun. Just kind of like, it adds another element to the song, because I'm all about the visual aspect of things. Like, I love soundtracks and psychedelic movies and surrealist kind of just weirdo kind of movies. And like I said, my attention span isn't hugely great, so I kind of just like movies that have no linear structure and you don't really have to pay attention to. And that's pretty much what music videos are anyway, so...
Yeah.
I think my natural leaning is towards that kind of just stuff that just looks cool and doesn't really have to make any sense.
Maybe going from the videos, can you tell me a little bit about the art that you use for the single releases?
Generally, I've just been looking through my phone on like deadline day, find like a photograph that I've taken, and I'll just use like a crappy phone app and just like filter it to my satisfaction. It's just photographs through this phone app that I got, and they're pretty much all being done in that way. They're not even the right size for like Bandcamp and stuff like that. I have to like, they always says your file is the incorrect size, and then I have to go in and like kind of try and just squeeze it into the correct format. It's always a bit of a pain actually doing that. I need to learn how to use, you know, Photoshop and do all that, do it right.
Well, this sounds like a real learning experience, this whole project.
Yeah, no, it is. Like, and I've started actually a new aspect to it, which is just like an art piece that I'm going to hand draw. And I'm going to do like a hand drawn accompaniment for every song of the 12. And make some, it'll incorporate some of the lyrics here and there. It'll just be like an abstract kind of thing. And I'll get them printed up for like everybody who has supported and downloaded the individual singles throughout 2016, and it'll be like a little kind of just gift to everybody who supported it, because the support is pretty much blowing my mind.
Yeah, it's really exploded.
It kind of, well, like in as much as I can these days, but like Bandcamp, and like I've had stuff with my previous projects on that, and it's just, you know, I don't know, I've just never, I think this, I don't know what it is, I think it's the idea of the single a month kind of intrigues people, and maybe it's YouTube videos too that people like, it helps push things along, but a lot of people have really supported the cause and, you know, downloaded these singles, so it'll be, I'm gonna like gift that little kind of, I don't know what I'll call it, just a little arts, just a little doodle book, I guess it is, but it's gonna be pretty crappy, and it'll suit the nature of the project anyway. So I started like doing those little sketches just this week.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, I look forward to seeing them.
It's been a long time since I put like pen to paper in terms of drawing and stuff. That's all I used to do in school. It was all I ever wanted to do. So it's fun that I'm getting back into it. Like, I've pushed my creativity into music and neglected that side of things. So I'm enjoying just like goofing around with all that stuff.
Yeah, you're really rounding it out.
Yeah, like every aspect of it is me throwing myself in and kind of deep end and just see what happens. But it's just, it's all been so much fun that the whole thing's just been great. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the future with the project.
Me too.
Yeah, nice one.
You sent a few songs to talk about and to play here on the podcast, and I really appreciate it. There's some great stuff. Can you tell me about what you chose?
You might have to refresh my memory, but I definitely sent January Rain by Psychic Gills.
Yes.
Which is just like, when I heard that song first, okay, so I used to live in a house with a couple of friends when I was in my naughty years in my 20s in Dublin. It'd be like the party house. Like, I used to always live in Party Central. There was kind of all sorts of chaos and like drugs and stuff and whatever. No, it was all fun and good times, but like it was chaos. That song, January Rain, for some reason just is indelibly marked on my brain, because it used to like somebody would put it on without fail at about like 6 or 7 a.m. when everybody's wasted, and it was just like, it just used to add new life to it. It used to add about like 12 to 24 hours onto the party. just by hearing that song alone would just make me go yes, you know, kind of one of those moments where you just get that like feeling in your belly where you're kind of, it makes me feel somewhat invincible or something, that song. I don't know what, and I kind of get like deeply affected by things, and music is like something that like hits me profoundly, and that song just like really just makes me feel like I could just, I don't know, I could do whatever the fuck I want to do. Like, It sounds so good. I don't even know what the lyrics are about. Like, it's just, you can't even hear the lyrics. They're indecipherable, but it just has that pounding floor tom drum beat and that guitar hook. And it's really lo-fi. It's probably my introduction into like how the possibilities of lo-fi music. It doesn't have to be recorded in a professional studio. The sound, like, it just needs to have that feel. It just needs to hit you where it counts, you know? And it's January Rain just does that every time. I revisit that song regularly. Once a month, probably I'll need my invincibility charge up and I'll put that song on.
That's the great thing about music, right? That you really can recharge yourself.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you can. That song's like a shield. It's like any of life's pressures can just go and take a... Can I swear on this? I keep going
to
swear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they can just fuck off, basically, you know, put that song on, yeah. it's a great track. I absolutely love that. And they're a band who just keep getting better with their albums as well. Like, admittedly, that album, that record that song comes from, I can't listen to it in one go. There's a lot of stuff I'm not really a huge fan of, but the last record was a completely cohesive piece of work, and it's incredible. I was actually going to contact them to see if they wanted to play on the track, so...
Oh, man, that would be amazing.
It would be, but they might tell me to fuck off. I haven't done it yet, but I'm not... I have contacted some people who haven't, and their collaborations that will come up in the future, but I can't really talk about them right now, but that's been another kind of surprising aspect that people have been willing to do it, yeah, like people who I really respect.
Yeah,
no, January Rain, it's a killer track, absolutely, love that song.
that's a hard one to follow up on, but what else have you got in your mix?
My God, Mushroom by Can. And that song is just like so weird. That was my introduction to the band Can and pretty much all of the whole krautrock genre, which I'm a huge fan of, like all of that stuff, like Le Dusseldorf, Amandul, Neu, all that kind of like noisy, kind of weird stuff from Germany in the early 70s. I heard the Jesus and Mary Chain version of that, of Mushroom, before I heard Can's. I had like, the Jesus and Mary Chain are like one of my favourite bands of all time. And I heard that song and I didn't know what it was, and I looked up the liner notes and I read there was a cover version, and I immediately went to the original. Like, this guy Damo Suzuki just riffing crazy improv, like they were an improv band mainly. A lot of this stuff has come up with on the spot, so I guess they're a huge influence in, to me in that way, that, like, you know, leave the warts and all when it comes to, like, sometimes, because they're the things that you hear on a second, third, fourth, fifth listen. They become an integral part of the song. And Can had that kind of stuff, those little moments where, like, things just, like, fall out of line, but they don't worry too much about it, you know. They just let it be.
Damo Suzuki came through Canada a couple of years ago. I don't know if you saw.
No, you know what? I didn't. And I know the people that he played with, because he does this thing where he hires different musicians in every city.
Yeah, yeah.
And he hired my mates in Dublin as well. And I was at that one when I went home for Christmas. And that was absolutely incredible. I actually met the guy after, and he's really kind of a really wacky dude. In a good way. He's a very warm, adorable kind of just a Japanese dude who's just kind of like traveling. He's got like a nomadic existence in a way. Like, he's just doing his thing because he just does it because it's inside him, and it's all he knows, I guess. And I feel like that's the kind of thing I can relate to.
Yeah, I was gonna say that you guys sound alike in that way.
Kindred spirits in many ways.
Kindred spirits.
Very different music. But like, he was basically found on the street by Can after they were abandoned by their singer, who had to return back to the States.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was suffering, you know, nervous exhaustion, and I think he was in a fragile state. So his name was Malcolm Mooney, and he abandoned the tour and went home to the US to recover. And so they were left with this like string of shows. Found this crazy Japanese guy on the corner, kind of like, you know, improvising madness on the corner, and like barefoot, long hair kind of guy. And they kind of was like, well, do you want to play a show, a packed out show down the road, like in 3 hours? And he was like, sure. And subsequently made four greatest albums, like,
wow,
he made with them. And Mushroom is like kind of like a double entendre for me, because he's from post-war Japan. Mushroom is like can be like a reference to like a mushroom clouds, or obviously like a psychedelic sacred mushroom. And obviously their music is very psychedelic, and you can definitely imagine there's mushrooms in there somewhere. So for me, that's kind of like just a perfect song. Sounds like a war song. Like, it's got a relentless kind of drum beat, just those weird kind of, I don't know, just kind of, I can picture a mushroom cloud when I hear that song. It's weird. It's dark, but it's also really goofy. So yeah, that's a killer track. And then everything else on that album, Tag O'Mago, was just insanely good too. It was hard to choose a record from, a song from them, but I just went for that one because it was my introduction to the band.
you've got some Spaceman 3 on your list.
Yeah, I'm currently reading the book by Will Crudders, their bass player. Spaceman 3 I got into like years back. I think I saw Revolution on the TV, and then still didn't get hugely into them until they took me a while. I listened to them and listened to them, and then it just hit home one day. And that song, Big City, it's just like, it's so joyful. And it's just like, I guess also like the music that I sent you is kind of like stuff I wish I want to do stuff like. It's kind of like I want to do a song like that, but like it's easier said than done, because Pete Kember, aka Sonic Boom, just knew his way around analog synths and all those drones and little tremolos, and his ghostly kind of vocal over the top, which is so sweet. It's like so childish. Just everyone I love can be found here. This kind of like, oh, I'm in a big city. It's so bright eyed and innocent. It actually sounds like a Christmas song every time I hear it. It's like this 10-minute psychedelic Christmas song, and it's just missing sleigh bells for me. It just it really, I'd love to hear it with sleigh bells. It's when you know about Pete Kember, and he's kind of like a very drugged up kind of guy. He writes songs from a very, like at that time anyway, like they were pretty unapologetic about their drug use and heroin, all that kind of stuff. And it's normally drugs that are synonymous with darker kind of stuff, but like that song just sounds so joyful and wide eyed and innocent, and it's beautiful. Like, and it's 10 minutes long, and I wish it was about 30 minutes long, to be honest.
I love songs like that.
It's so good. It could go on forever. Totally. I've listened to that song till the end of time. I probably wouldn't get much of my own music done.
No, you wouldn't. That's true. Asteroid number 4.
Asteroid number 4 is Ignition Slater for 8. Yeah, that's just one of those songs that I just keep returning to. It's kind of got that those chicken skin moments where the song, you know that bit where it stops and then he just like the vocal kicks back in, and then the song takes you down a complete different road. Like it's just got these driving chords, and I don't know, it sounds kind of like, it's got that the sound quality of it reminds me of Arnold Lane by Pink Floyd. It's got all the right reverbs and all the right places and all the right delays. It just kind of, and then there's something about the vocal melody in that end section that kind of just it just makes me feel, it's kind of like, it's just, yes, it's a chicken skin moment. I don't know, it's just, it's got something about it. And it's the last song on that record, which is just an absolute, that's like probably the high point of their output for me, that album. Yeah, I don't know, like I said, it's kind of like an updated version of like Arnold Lane or like See Emily Play or something like that, like a Syd Barrett song, but just more kind of, it's also one of those 5-6 a.m. songs that we used to put on like in my old living situations. And yeah, it's just kind of made itself an integral, it's in my bloodstream somehow, that song.
Big bright lights, cool people, big city.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is a great set list. I'm excited to share it with everyone.
No, totally. I was just listening to music last night, and like every time I'm asked to do things like this, I kind of choose different stuff just depending on what humor I'm in. So I like getting asked to do things like this. And for some reason, I think I had like my old household and stuff. I kind of went down that kind of way, that route. So I had like Psychic Gills and Asteroid 4. It's all bands that I got into at that time. And I revisit that stuff a lot. And so I was listening to the songs, and it's like, wow, I just love this collection of songs, these five tracks like this. They actually work really well together. Too.
Well, thanks. I know that everybody's going to love them if they don't already know the songs.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully some people discover something that they love as much as I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been really great to talk to you, and I really appreciate you coming on. It's been a while since we first made contact, so I'm glad that we were able to organize this.
Yeah, yeah. Life has been hectic recently.
It sure has.
So that's good. And you've been moving around too. So
I have.
It's good that we could coordinate on this. Yeah. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Speaking to you.
Before we go, you've mentioned your Bandcamp site, and this is your primary place to find all of the singles as they come out and get the ones that have already come out. Where else can people find you online?
There's a facebook.com/TheOrangeKite. There's Twitter. It's all /TheOrangeKite, I think. Actually, the only other one is Instagram, which is TheOrangeKiteBand. The reason for that is because I completely fucked up setting it up, and I locked myself out of our own account.
Oh no.
I was pretty pissed off over that, and nobody, like the Instagram people, weren't getting back to me to help me out, so it just became the Orange Pipe Band. But anyway, it's there. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Try not to get involved in Tumblr and too many things, because
it's hard to keep up with everything.
Yeah, because I'm doing all that stuff, so it's like, yeah, I like to keep on top of this stuff as well, and it's good to connect with people who are interested in it. There is also a .com website, but it's kind of just sitting there getting updated, not so regularly, but I'm hoping that will get better, bigger and better at some point.
I'll definitely put all the links to your various social media and whatnot so people can get in touch.
Great, thanks a million. Appreciate it.
I really appreciate it too. Thanks so much for joining me today, and I can't wait to hear what else is to come and see your doodles and get your greasy singles.
Nice one.
Thanks so much, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Nice one.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Many thanks to Stevie for coming on the podcast and sharing with us. During the interview, we heard some amazing music, including a release from another project that Stevie has recently undertaken, the Subterranean Satellite Band. We started off with the first song on their album Brainwaves, which also happens to be a single that they released in 2005, the super catchy As Sure As Hell. In the set, we also heard songs that Stevie selected for us, including Psychic Ills with January Rain, Can's Mushroom, Spaceman 3 with Big City, and Asteroid Number 4, Ignition, slated for 8. One of my very favorite things about doing the podcast is all the great music that bands share with us. Stevie's selections, as well as the music he plays, were especially exciting because he was so excited to share them with us and had so much to say about what the songs mean to him. Go to the Podomatic page for a full listing of the songs and albums, as well as for links to the Orange Kites Bandcamp and social media pages. And keep your eyes open in the next few days as the latest single will be released before the beginning of November. Let's continue now with some more music from the Orange Kite. It was hard to choose only a few of the singles that have been released this year, so I decided to go with a couple that have really stuck out for me. Here are the selections from February and April, Dope 86 and Microdose.
Yeah.
always the case, this episode of the podcast was a blast, and it's gone by too fast. To end this week, let's hear one more single from The Orange Kite, July's release, The Lone Rooster. Thanks again so much to Stevie Moonbots of The Orange Kite for chatting and sharing his music and some of his favorites with us. And many thanks to you for listening too. Until next time.